many times do we see Cook take a handoff, and within a half a step, he's kind of hesitating. He's sitting there. Then he's back behind it. We saw numbers where Cook ran weak. He ran weak more than any back in the league last year. That's what he sees. That's what he does. So to just say, hey, we're not going to sign him. I don't care if he plays. Ray Davis, start. Well, if you watch Ray, he's downhill. So he doesn't have the patience that Cook has. So while Cook is hesitating, then gets back behind it, Ray's probably running into guys because he's not letting it set up. There's a way that these running schemes all fit the style of the back. And if you go to a Ray Davis, you better start forcing doubles, maybe even going to some power to where he can get downhill and put his foot in the ground and go. There's a lot more that goes into it than just saying, hey, the O-line's great, so anybody back there works. Nah, it's not the way it is.
Former Bills offensive lineman Jerry Ostrowski, 100 games in the NFL with the Bills, on the differences in the Bills running backs and how it is not as easy as just, oh, the next guy goes in. You know, call the same plays. He went so far as to say, in our conversation yesterday, I'm talking with Jerry and Joe Marino on the Bill Squad show, that he went so far as to say that Aaron Cromer would have to change the way the line blocks. If Cook's out, he's the one that runs it like that, so they don't call those plays. Not that they would necessarily be bad doing it, but just it is a bigger change than just that. And, you know, the idea is that Cook does indeed optimize what this offense does.
Mm-hmm.
So, not as easy as just get him out, get somebody else in there, you'll be fine. Toss Darrington Evans back there behind that line. He'll be running through those holes. Not so.
That's really never going to happen, though, right?
What's that?
Ray Davis starting for the Buffalo Bills. Because this year...
You think they would replace Cook if Cook left?
The Cook replacement is not happening now.
No.
Right? Because he's going to play one way or another. I mean, it's possible he is holding in right now.
Yep.
So it's possible he sits out games. I'm currently not taking that seriously. The idea that he is not going to play games for them this year.
Agree.
Either because they don't have a contract. Like, I think either there's a contract by then or he's returned. So he's playing. And then next year will show up. And if they haven't paid him and he walks, they're going into the season with Ray Davis as the starting running back. He would have had to have a whale of a season, I think, for them to commit to him being like the number one without doing something else at the position. So I'm not saying that Jerry is wrong there at all. I'm just wondering, is Ray Davis ever going to actually be the plan for their top guy?
Yeah.
He's a change of pace guy. He's a physical guy. He could be a short yardage guy. Cook walks, they're doing something else that probably will try to replace what Cook does.
That's probably right, because think of it this way. Haven't they always sought the Davis? If Davis is the more powerful change of pace, they did that with Zach Moss. They wanted that.
Right.
Not that they're exactly the same player, but they did that with Moss.
Frank Gore, even a little bit.
They did that with Damian Lewis.
Damian Harris, sorry.
I was on Harris, then went to Lewis.
Latavius Murray. Big guy.
Desperate, but yeah.
He was big.
But
he
so they have sought out that more powerful back as a compliment.
Yeah, Moss is really the one. Yeah, Moss was Moss a third round pick. They already had a starting running back, and he was a very specific type of player.
Yeah, he said he wanted to make defenders make business decisions.
Right. So, like, I think that point is right about Ray Davis. I just don't think Ray Davis is ever going to be the guy unless he takes a big step and kind of commands that himself.
Yeah.
It's not like they put a big asset into him. It was a fourth-round pick. It's not nothing for a running back, but it's not a big contract. It's not a day-two pick. It was a fourth-round pick. So what do you do with a fourth-round pick when your starter leaves? You usually pair him with another guy to create a committee if you don't actually even go even further than that and a guy that would definitively be over the top of him. So I'm not really that worried about what they would have to do to change with Ray Davis in there, because I think Cook's the running back this year, and if Cook's not here next year, I think they'll be somebody else I'm excited about.
Yeah. Is this absurd to look up free agent running backs next year?
I don't think it's absurd. I know Jonathan Taylor is off the top of my head. Or I think he is. Pretty sure. What would be absurd is to look up draft running backs, I think, for next year. That would be absurd.
There was a call out of the afternoon show yesterday that suggested the Bills should have planned better for this. And if they had drafted a running back, they'd be better prepared for it. You think there's any feeling on that? The one thing that Brandon Bean told Chris Brown yesterday on One Bills Live was that between the draft and camp, that they had very minimal contact. right, with the agent. So
yeah, right.
It kind of went quiet for a while, and maybe things picked back up around training camp. And at the beginning of this training camp, Bean basically said like, "Oh yeah, we're in contact." Tom Pelissero pointed out that he didn't feel that the two sides were all that far apart. So you know, talks opened back up.
Yeah,
and then this curveball gets thrown in here. I mean, Brees Hall's a UFA next year. Could you see the Bills going after Brees Hall? I think so.
I think he does a lot of what Cook does, right? He's explosive.
Then you have to get to the conversation of, if you have the opportunity to pay Cook and extend him,
why wouldn't you just do it?
As opposed to, right, going into the free agent waters where you're almost always going to overpay in free agency because you have to compete with all the other teams.
Yep.
Right now, Cook might be asking for an overpay, but you just have to convince one player.
Well, I don't know how much they care about this one particular thing, but if you think that, I'll pay a running back, but if I'm going to pay a running back, the guy's got to be, is this the most mentioned point about James Cook as to why you wouldn't pay him? Is, well, he doesn't play half the snaps. He's not on the field for me all the time. Where is he on the last couple plays against Kansas City? These are the points that are made to why you wouldn't pay him, because he doesn't pass protect. He's got other guys that got to come in and do other parts of the job. So he's not a workhorse featured back. The size maybe is a part of that too. So he doesn't play half the snaps. Brees Hall plays 72% of the snaps. That's your difference. Brees Hall doesn't come off the field. You get him, and if he stays healthy, he's your running back in every situation. So that would be the difference. And also, would you have to pay him much more lucratively than you would pay Cook? I mean, statistically, Cook's been better. I mean, Cook had more touchdowns last year than Brees Hall has in his career. So statistically, it's not there.
Right. There might be some factors there.
Yeah, the Bills are a better infrastructure for a running back, I think, by a lot.
Yes.
But maybe the Bills would think, if it was that direct a comparison, you would try to capitalize on that. Like, oh, Cook's going to go get paid because in this system, he put up crazy numbers. We think that guy, who went like almost a full round higher than him in the draft, is actually as good, if not even better, but he's been playing for the Jets. So his numbers aren't as good. Let's capitalize on that. Let's get him at a lower number because he's only got 14 touchdowns in his career. He's never had 1,000 yards, even though we've seen it against the Bills. That dude can run. He's explosive.
Mm-hmm.
So
his rush,
that's an idea.
If you want this, I mean, sometimes we'll go to this. Rush yards over expected per attempt last year.
Mm-hmm.
Brees Hall behind Ray Davis.
Really?
Yep.
That's surprising. Okay, well, I don't like that. I don't like that part.
I mean, whatever. Like that doesn't have to be the end all be all, but
yep.
He is behind Ray Davis.
They would they not? Well, I guess they could. I was going to say, would they do something like that if Cook walks, Brees Hall, a running back of that caliber, or they'll draft a guy? But either way, there will be an idea for me. Like, there will be a Brees Hall. There will be a third-round rookie, well, maybe a second-round rookie. But there will be someone else with Ray Davis.
I hope you're prepared for the first-round rookie.
I'm not prepared for that.
Is everyone out there ready for it? It's been a couple years since the Bills mock draft having a running back.
Listen, for draft conversation, I would love to have Cook not be signed next spring.
Yeah.
Right? If he's not signed next spring, I mean, it depends what happens. If they win the Super Bowl, we're just probably doing that.
Right.
But otherwise, aren't we spending 2 months on whether they're going to draft a first-round running back next spring? If it's apparent Cook is leaving, well, we'll know actually, free agency's first. If Cook's gone and it's just Ray Davis and Ty Johnson.
Yeah, running backs.
We're talking about running back in the first round for a month or two.
It's definitely on the menu.
Yeah.
Second round.
I mean, it's been almost every time they've needed a guy. When Travis Etienne is in the draft in the first round, I mean, he's a finishing piece.
Brees Hall was the guy that was mocked them. They didn't take him. They ended up taking Cook that year, right?
Same
draft class.
That's right. So that's my overarching thought, though, is that I'm never getting to Ray Davis as my lead back. I don't think that's ever in the cards unless he forces that. And for him to force that, he'd have to have, I think, a pretty incredible year.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on James Cook. Anybody got a prediction for how it ends? Is he just they talk today, they're off. Maybe there's a sit-down. I mean, Bean also revealed on One Bills Live that he'd never done a deal with this agent
before. He's never done a deal with his agent. Nope.
So maybe today it's a day off, you know, hit the golf course, get on the phone, talk something.
Yep. This also is Shamar Stewart's agent, by the way, who had the big run, first round rookie, had a run in with the Bengals on like specific contract language. That did end up getting done, and it was ugly.
It was ugly. He did not ultimately get the language he wanted.
They caved.
But he got more money.
Okay.
He got more money, maybe up front or more guaranteed. I believe what I read was that Shamar Stewart ultimately did not get the language, but he got another concession that he wanted for more money up front, more guaranteed money, whatever.
Okay.
So, anyway.
LAA Sports, by the way, is the name of the agency. Matthew Least is okay.
Maybe today they talk, cooler heads prevail, and Cook is just back working out.
You know why he might have never done a deal with him? Because his NFL PA page, they have pages for the agents, by the way, says contracts negotiated, 2.
Okay.
And one of them is Caden Prather, the Bills' 7th-round rookie.
So then they have done a deal, but that's just like the, you know, the base level. Seventh round, kind of.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there's not much to negotiate.
SpotTrack only lists players for him as James Cook, Shamar Stewart, and Caden Prather. That's it.
Okay.
So that would maybe be an explanation for as to why you've never done a deal with. Maybe it's a newer guy in the block. I'm not sure.
Newer guy, but I don't think it's a new agency. I think that agency.
It's not a new agency.
Yeah.
No.
Right. Okay. Well.
So I don't know.
Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about it with. Sean McDermott is going to join us from training camp tomorrow. So. See if there's any sort of update. Coaches are always put in a weird spot. Players are put in a weird spot. Did you see what Benford said? Christian Benford was asked about this whole scenario, and his answer was effectively, what would you do if you were in this situation? And he said, well, it's just me. I'd probably be here just working to get it, working to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And Benford says, like, the way that I am, I want to, work to prove all the time. Which, when you're someone that got the bag – it's a big deal what Christian Benford got. I'm not saying he's being dishonest. It's if I'm Cook, I might be like, well, all right, that's you. You got paid.
Yeah.
I didn't. And the other thing worth mentioning is it really is so specific to running back. If you're a corner and you're waiting for that contract, you're waiting to get paid. First off, when you do hit the market, you're going to get paid a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than you are as a running back. And if you're a corner – usually, I shouldn't say usually, whatever. It is not unusual for corners' careers to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a running back, they're going to chew you up and spit you up by the time you're 27, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Yeah.
27, you're old. And then I've got, this might be an outlier, but how old is Stephon Gilmore? Is he 35?
He's 35. He's
34?
Probably one of the guys that's gone the longest.
Yeah, he's gone the longest. You can routinely make it to your 30s as a good veteran corner.
Yeah. Three, four more years of lifeline, I think you usually get with corner.
Yeah.
Like 30, 31 is about it. But, right, that's three more years usually than most running backs
have. I feel like every running back would have armor on about, I'll get chewed up and spit out faster than any of you.
Right.
Like, one injury and I'm done. Nick Chubb is a good example of this, right? I mean, he made it a little longer than most.
Yeah.
He's 29. When did he get hurt? Was he 27? He is a Hall of Fame running back talent. Hurt, done. The burst is gone. His career is over.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys come back from it. Peterson was able to do that, but it's just...
But yeah, no, not everybody.
Running backs, they probably know it is very rare to make a third contract. You got to get the second one.
Really? Like, you know who's a good example? It's a guy who never even got to that first extension. Javonte Williams was a second-round pick, like early second-round pick. And he had, I remember his rookie year, I think he set the record for most yards, what's the forced missed tackle? Forced missed tackle rate.
Yeah.
Like, he set the record for that stat in his rookie season. Had a great rookie year. Year two, right at the beginning, bam, tears his knee up. Like, every ligament in his knee is cooked. And he's not been the same since. And what he just signed for in Dallas, like a one-year vet minimum contract.
Mm.
Like, that guy never got the deal at all because his injury came before he got a chance to hit that big contract. And how many stories of that are you going to have at that position?
Right.
There's going to be a dozen of them, at least.
That's where if you say, like, Cook is either A, getting bad advice, or B, going rogue against what his agent would want, or getting bad advice from his brother. My guess is if you're a running back.
Dalvin Cook, that kind of happened, didn't it?
Yes,
Dalvin Cook. He got injuries at the end,
But he got a big contract. He got it. And the whole point is, if you're a running back, you got to do whatever you can at all costs, Why doesn't he want to be here? How could he do this to this team? He's being a me guy. I've got one contract that I'm going to sign that's going to pay me that I can count on. And
for Benford, you might have two.
Right. And listen, injury could end any career. That's every position. But running back especially, you're going to lose your job to somebody younger. They're going to come in cheaper. And it's the position that is paid the least. Look at the franchise tag. Last time we looked at franchise tags, weren't running backs only ahead of special teamers?
And I think there was a time, I don't know if this is still true, where their average was behind kickers. That was true. That maybe isn't true anymore because last year there was a little bit of a hike in the running back salary. But no, they're far behind. Who did we mention yesterday? Darnell Mooney makes the same amount of money as the top running backs in the league. You're like a good, or let's say like a low-level number two wide receiver is making about the money that the top running backs in the position are making. In the league are making. So that's why I empathize with what Cook's doing and him being aggressive about it and him prioritizing that contract. I don't think he's going to get it. Like, if I were to predict how it ends, I think it ends with him playing for the Bills on the final year of his deal, and if he stays healthy, he will cash in somewhere else. And he'll get his $15 million a year from the Bears.
Might be a good fit.
Or Dallas.
Might be a good fit with the Bears.
The Bears?
Yeah, might be good. Maybe Ben Johnson.
Be their new Jahmyr Gibbs?
Be their Gibbs. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rookie quarterback contract, too.
803-0550, if you want to chime in. Happy to have you here. Hard Knocks premieres tonight. Tomorrow we'll, of course, have plenty to talk about with it.
Are we going to get a Bills unofficial depth chart in the next couple of days like we're seeing a lot of in the league?
Maybe.
Not that we should really even maybe care about it anyways. Because is there any position where we're like, oh, who's listed here? Because now that Hairston's hurt, like corner's not that.
I guess the only spot I would want to look at, like, right, injuries are going to be a big factor here, but like.
Yeah, like what position would you be interested to know how they list?
I want to know where Curtis Samuel is listed.
At wide receiver?
That's what I want to know. This guy that exists.
Yeah.
But
you think he's going to be behind your guy Wilkerson?
I don't know. I know that Wilkerson's going to play on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And could he show out? And if he plays special teams, the same is true of Jalen Virgil or what? Like, I don't know. There's probably not an avenue to get out from under Samuel. I'm not even sure you should really want to. You got to wait. You hate it, but you got to just wait and say, we signed him for a reason. We saw a glimpse of what it could be at the end of the year. Maybe because of that, we don't want to rush him. We're going to be very careful. The turf toe that set him back was a big deal. When he got healthy, it looked right.
Yep.
You know, okay, hamstring. Let's take as much time as he needs because he can be a difference maker. And, you know, so much of this season, so much of this team is about making a difference later. I don't need Curtis Samuel in September. I kind of really don't. Right? When do I need him? When I need that play against the Chiefs. When it's 3rd and 10. And can he be the guy that make a difference? Or 4th and 5. Can I get, you know, I need spots in those plays. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Sean McDermott will be tomorrow, 9 o'clock hour, we think. A lot going on from camp tomorrow. Our training camp schedule tomorrow we're going to get to. We've already booked like a bunch of guests. Here's tomorrow for you. Tomorrow we're going to check in with Joe Marino, Sal Mariana, and Sean McDermott. And I believe Jerry Ostrowski will also be at camp tomorrow. So nice. Big, big day, second to last day. And then Pete Quelly, Bills and Sabres COO on Thursday. We expect to chat with him. You can give us a ring. Carrington Harrison at 9 on the Chiefs.
On the Chiefs.
What are we hearing about the Chiefs?
They had a couple banged up receivers, right? Worthy and Brown. But in terms of like other storylines, it's their offensive line for me. How's that rookie look? Josh Simmons, who everyone thought would go really high in the first round if he wasn't injured, but he was injured, and now he's not injured. Should I be scared of that? Chiefs got a top 10 level tackle at 32? 31. They didn't win.
That's right. Maybe. Their offense has not been good for 2 years. It's very possible, and I would even think likely, that eventually they just ascend back to the top 5. Wouldn't you think that? I mean, Mahomes having two down years.
In offense?
I think they'll get back there. It's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They'll get back there.
You want to bet it?
You don't think they'll get to a top five? I don't even mean this year. I mean,
oh, okay.
They're going to get back.
Oh, there. Eventually, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year, I wouldn't bet that. But eventually, yeah, they'll get back to top five. It's at some point, sure.
We'll talk about that with Carrington Harrison coming up. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
What's Jerry Jones' priority? If his priority is team building over building wealth, then absolutely not. Jerry Jones understands that Michael Parsons is not only the best player on this defense, he's the player that everyone follows defensively. Sure. And so you have to figure out a way to keep him in the locker room. Jerry Jones hasn't had a trade like this, though, in the season or offseason since, I would say, Herschel Walker. Mm. Herschel Walker was probably the last person who could move the needle for the Dallas Cowboys.
And that was Jimmy pushing it.
Yeah, that was traded away. And so for me, this deal gets worked out with Michael Parsons, but why does it have to get to this point?
That's Ryan Clark. Why does it get to this point? Jerry Jones in the hot dog costume. We're all trying to find out who did this. Sorry, I use that reference a lot. If you don't watch I Think You Should Leave, then maybe you don't know it. But it's a great meme. It's great. Great skit, too. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Parsons. The NHL 26 cover athlete has been revealed. You see that?
I did.
NHL 26.
Matthew Tkachuk. Not Sam Reinhart. It would be funny if there was another former Sabre on the NHL.
Am I required to call this game Chell?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you play it.
I'm too old.
If you don't play it, you don't have to. But okay. If you play it, like if I'm texting the guys, if we're like going to have a Chell night, it's a Chell night. Like are we playing Chell tonight? Chell tonight? ? That's the text.
Sure. There's a game mode now called World of Chell.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like an online thing.
They've leaned into it. Speaking of hockey, very quick thing. So Matthew Schaefer, the number one overall pick of the New York Islanders.
Yep.
So the Islanders did like a cool thing where like he lost his mom to cancer right like before he was drafted, and they had like 25 kids who had all lost their parents come in like when he signed his contract and got his jersey or whatever. He picked jersey number 48. That's what he's going to wear in the NHL. You know why he's wearing jersey number 48? Matthew Schaefer?
Is it how old his mom was?
No. Separate from that.
Okay.
He's wearing number 48 for Danny Briere.
Wow.
Who was one of his favorite players growing up. Matthew Schaefer was born 2 months after Danny Briere left the Buffalo Sabres. So that's where we are. That's how long ago that was now. He's wearing it for Briere, but he wasn't even alive when Briere was with the Sabres. Hmm. So this is definitely just for Flyers.
This is...
I also kind of only half believe him because how long did Briere play?
After he left.
If you were born when his Flyers career began, how old are you when he is still good?
I mean, you can still watch a guy.
Three?
You don't have any player that you love to watch from before you were remembering sports, really?
Briere, let's say, Briere really is not, like, 2011 is his last, like, really good year.
Yeah, his last respectable, okay.
So he's four. Four and younger, for me, would be like...
I'll give you
that's 99. Like, that would be like me saying that Hasek was my favorite player growing up. Although he was a Red Wing by that time, so I guess I did watch him. Who's not good by 99?
I've got a name for this.
Who? I would never say that, like, Dante Culpepper was one of my favorite players growing up. Because I was six when he was, like, done being good.
But if you're a pro hockey player, you're going to watch a lot of hockey, right? And even go back and maybe watch older cup finals or older stuff.
Yeah, so your favorite player from, like, really before you can remember watching.
The first name that came up for me on this was, like, Lawrence Taylor, but he did play long enough where I remember watching him play.
Okay.
You know, I was born 2 years before he started in the NFL. So he's...
Okay.
When he's bursting on the scene, I'm five, and I don't really remember Lawrence Taylor when I'm five.
Right.
But he did play long enough into my, you know, teens neighborhood.
Okay.
Who's the player that I didn't see a lot of that I love?
Yeah. Could even really be your first favorite player, right? Like, would you have a favorite player when you're five?
Yeah. Well, you might.
Your son loves Tage Thompson.
That's right.
So, like, that would be like if Tage Thompson demanded a trade in 2 years, and in 15 years, Knox plays in the NHL and says, I'm going to wear 72. Would that be crazy? Maybe it wouldn't be crazy.
Maybe not. I don't know. Everybody probably has a favorite player when they're five. The question is, do you remember it? Or do your parents tell you, oh, you love this player?
That would be more of it, I think, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
803-0550. Bob in Buffalo is on the line. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing?
Morning.
Good morning. Jeremy, I think you're not required to call a child. I don't think anyone is. In fact, as hockey players, we usually abbreviate things and make them shorter. I think it's very funny that we abbreviate NHL with chel, but we're actually adding an extra letter.
It is shorter to say, though. It's about syllables.
It's quicker.
And hockey players.
Right, it's not quicker to text, though. And I'm using it in text as often as I am.
Hockey players also take short names and lengthen them. Nicknames. Like, your name is Mayor, it's Mayor-Z.
Right. Miller was Milzy.
That's about the same. You get one syllable. It's not unusual to lengthen the name.
Right. Roy-Z. Derek Roy.
I know what you're thinking. Can we get the Sabres to have a Sabes jersey? Well,
they do a Sabes jersey, or should they do the nicknames on the back of the jersey? How about that?
Like Tommer?
Tommer. It says 72 Tommer on the back.
Listen, the nicknames,
is that a bad idea?
The nicknames belong in one spot, and that is for the social media posts to act like the players have these names, and we know who they are.
Uh-huh.
Quinner! And
yeah,
that's how it works. The nicknames make it to social media.
Don't the Bills have some of those, too? There they used to. Devin Singletary was Motor.
Motor.
John Brown was Smoke.
Yep.
But maybe that's it.
Are the Bills out of nicknames?
Maybe they're done with nicknames.
Who's left?
Jimbo.
Groot.
Jimbo.
Groot.
Groot. Groot. Yeah, but no one's calling him Groot.
If
someone gets a question, Ed Oliver gets a question about Rousseau, he's referring to him in the press conference as Groot.
I don't know.
Because James Cook, they'll say Jimbo.
They will.
So it is a nickname, though. It's a nickname. Maybe that's it. Deion Dawkins doesn't have a nickname, does he? Spencer Brown. We tried to get
Deion Dawkins is the snowman.
We tried to get Benny Blankets off the ground with Benford.
We're still working on Benny Blankets.
Yeah.
Benny Blankets, Christian Benford. The marketing campaign to get him more awareness.
Josh doesn't have a nickname. Proof of reference says it's the Winter Soldier.
Right.
Which I've never heard.
Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry-O. Just wondering, a couple things. I know we live in a real world, but if I show up to my work and just sit there, I don't get paid. I mean, Cook's just going, showing up. They got to change that. It isn't fair that he can just show up while I'm here, but I don't have to listen to you, so I don't have to practice. So that's one thing I'm a little bit bothered about. But the other thing, I thought we were living in a world of a dime a dozen running backs, where, you know, like you just said, our one running back's better than the guy in the Jets. By numbers, obviously, we don't really believe he is, but I just don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I don't think the Bills should pay him. They should pay him for what he is. I mean, he's a running back. That's just what running backs are getting paid for the most part. There are a few teams that overpay. But that's just – things like that bother me. Like, oh, I can just show up and stand here. As long as I show up, I'm okay. So if I go to work, I can't just sit there. So I know real world versus the NFL world is different. But that's something that I would like to see change, and maybe it would force the hand a little bit. But just want to get your thoughts on that. Thanks, and have a great day.
You got to be careful about real world. I mean, real world, if he asked for a raise, he would just maybe get it.
Mm-hmm.
And real world – it is kind of funny how this works. In the NFL – The structure is come in and produce right away. And if you produce right away, that's great. You're a bargain. Now it's time for you to get paid. And you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't work out. Again, in the real world. In the real world, Curtis Samuel would make more than James Cook. I mean, maybe he would for value to a team. But it is the draft is what is really the root. And the entry-level contracts are the root of all of this. Like, what would Abdul Carter get if he came out of college and it was a free agent deal? $22 million a year?
He'd get
$22 million a year.
At least, yeah.
Neighborhood. 25. 30. If all the teams could bid on him. But they can't. Instead, what he has to do is play for relative peanuts because a CBA has been agreed to and signed by players in the league before him, and he has to hope to make it to that contract. Really, in the real world, just to make this point about Cook has done everything they've asked.
Mm-hmm.
And he watched four other guys in the same spot get paid. Now, maybe he's being unreasonable with his ask, but In the real world, if you operate within the guidelines of the CBA at your work, then exactly what is happening, what would happen? Like, Cook's not breaking any rules. If they want it different, they can make it different. McLaurin's doing this. Hendrickson's doing this. Like that, the reason they're doing it is because it's in the rules. So, I mean, I do want to say in the real world, if you operate within the rules of your union or whatever, this is indeed what happens. So, it's just tough. It's got to be a tough life in the NFL. I made it. What now? Well, throw your body into a meat blender for 4 years.
Yep.
And hope you come out of it to actually get the big contract. What happens if I don't?
And your big contract is going to be, you know, way lower than the guys that don't get the ball as often as you are going
to
get.
And the owners, by the way, are going to collude to keep guaranteed money on all these contracts down while the PA is firing people who are not holding your best interests at heart.
Right, he's using your money from the union to go to strip clubs. That's what's going on with that thing.
You know, like it's not
perfect. Whatever.
You don't have to cry for the players, but the structure of it leaves guys ground to a pulp and unable to, all right, I'm 26 and I'm retired.
Mm-hmm. But really, like, it is still like even the guys at the top, sure, the money's gone up a little bit. Barkley getting 20 and Henry getting 15 and McCaffrey getting about that too. Even those numbers are not that big comparatively to the other positions. Christian Benford is a great player. He's not that well known in the NFL. He makes more money than Saquon Barkley, who's on the Madden cover, right? And is like the number one player at his position. Right now, he'll go like top in fantasy drafts. So if you're a running back, like I do think there is still a reason that it is that low. And the reason is your position is more replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Your position is more plug and play. It really is the position where you can plug a guy in that wasn't on a team the day before and you can get away with it a lot more easily than you can at corner or wide receiver or left tackle. Those guys, again, like it's still true of them that if they come out and like the spreads won't move, you just put the backup in. But you can't just plug a guy in off the street at cornerback or linebacker and expect to not be exposed. You go put – who's the guy for the – the Raiders are a bad example because they were a bad football team. But they there was a guy last year that they just picked up, hadn't played football all year. They started like the week he got there, and he had like 100 yards. Like wasn't on a team the whole season. Just put him in, 100 yards. Like that position, sometimes you could just get that.
Yeah. Benford does not make more than Barkley. He just got a new deal.
Oh, okay. What is his number again?
It is wild.
Rousseau got more than Barkley.
Yeah, Barkley signed for three for 37 with the Eagles, and then they just did a new deal, two for 41, and added like void years out the wazoo.
So $20.5 million.
Yeah.
And Benford was at 17.
Benford is 17.25.
Okay.
803-0550. Thanks for the phone calls. Jeremy and Joe. Carrington Harrison on the Chiefs. We'll check in Kansas City and see how their offseason's going, what it looks like the Chiefs will be this year. Defense, offense, all that good stuff. We care about them. We kind of have to. You can give us a ring in the meantime.
Yeah. When we come back, did you see who's getting an outdoor hockey game this year?
Oh.
Let you know.
There's laughter, so. Well, let me think about it. There's laughter. Yeah. Not us?
No, not Buffalo. We're not getting
it. I think we're getting one in the new stadium, though. That's going to happen.
I would expect within the first couple of years.
That'll happen.
It'd be surprising.
Maybe we'll talk about that with Pete Guelli on Thursday. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Joe, you're probably not old enough to remember the show, any of you guys. Kids Say the Darndest Things.
No.
Used to be a television show.
I know of it.
The show would just be kids saying things.
Yeah.
So yesterday, you know, the twins are four.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I was going to hang out at the house and, you know, they love the independent play. And then they'll just say something to you every once in a while. I mean, plenty. I talk to my kids a lot. I don't want it to sound like I talk to my kids every once in a while. Anyway, what I'm trying to get to is my daughter turns to me and she says, Daddy, did you know in the 1960s? Right, here we go, right?
What a start.
Uh-oh. Exactly.
What a start. Did you know in the 1960s?
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, when they're four, sometimes the sentence starts a few times and then goes, in the 1960s, In the 1960s, Did you know the 19?
You're like, am I about to get like a lesson on the JFK assassination?
Could be anything.
I'm going to the moon.
Where are we going? I am on the ride for this. Let's go. In the 1960s, Pelicans.
Okay. Pelicans.
What?
60s Pelicans. What All is right,
it?
I'm listening.
What is it? Used to eat people. Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Specifically in the 60s, they did this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
everyone knew. It's a tough decade for Pelicans.
Then they stopped? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a kid said the darndest thing.
Now, did you like try to find the source of this comment?
You know what? I can't even imagine where that would have come from. The reason it came up is because we've got like one of the little Bluey sets, and one of the beach sets for Bluey has a little pelican. And I said, like, oh, here's the pelican. We put the pelican away. And then she that's what got to in the 1960s. Pelicans used to eat people. All right.
Interesting.
No further questions.
Google AI says pelicans do not and did not eat humans in the 1960s or at any other time.
Thank goodness you checked.
You know, maybe there was a story out there about, you know, some tragic. But how would they have stumbled upon some news story from the 60s about a pelican? I don't know.
Crazy.
That would make the show, I think. Although I never watch the shows. So I don't really know what they're cutting.
What show?
Kids say the darndest things.
Oh, yeah. I really don't remember the format of the show more than I remember it just existing.
Never watched a second of it. Like
Was it hosted by Bill Cosby?
Yeah. I remember the show being referenced in shows that I would have watched when I was growing up. That was the extent of it.
Yeah, it aired from 97 to 2000. And like
no.
Every, yeah.
97?
That must have been the reboot, right? My guess.
I was going
to
say.
No. It says original release is 97 to 2000.
97 to 2000?
Yeah.
Come on. I've got that being like a 60s show.
It was initially developed as part of a radio program in 1945.
There you go. Now that sounds closer to what I was expecting.
Yeah. I've had it in a bunch of different countries, too.
No, I guess Wikipedia says Cosby's version of it was aired in 97.
There you go.
Way later than I thought.
Did you know? Yes.
I've learned two things in this segment. One, that show was in the 90s, not in like the 60s, and also that pelicans ate people in the 1960s.
Which did not happen. We also learned that you had root beer for the first time.
And I had root beer for the first time.
Congratulations. Well, check in on the Chiefs' Carrington Harrison. He covers and talks Chiefs there in Kansas City. We've had him on countless times. Definitely talk to him when we get to that Chiefs game like we always do. But we want to find out what's going on at Chiefs camp. What are the storylines, the additions, the subtractions, and what's the message for the Chiefs after they got walloped in the Super Bowl? Remember that day? It was awesome. It was so great when that happened. My favorite day of the year so far. So Carrington Harrison, he joins us next.